Chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Brother Joe, and I hope that this is not true today, Brother Joe shared something with me, and I want to share it with you. He said that there were, preacher went preaching with some of the church folks, and somebody shot a doe. And the game warden came along, and he was trying to figure out who had shot this doe. And he was questioning them and talking to them, you know, who killed that doe, you know, and so forth and so on. At that time, I reckon you could shoot does, but he was trying to figure out who got the doe. And finally, I'm going to blame it on the deacon. One of the deacons got the game warden to the side and said, "Game warden, I can tell you who shot that doe. I didn't see it, but I can tell you." And he said, "Who was it?" He said, "It had to be the preacher." He said, "How do you know the preacher did it?" He said, "Because it went through one ear and out the other." Don't want it to go through one ear and out the other this morning. I want to share something with you God shared with me. I preached from this scripture not long ago, but it is not the same message, believe me. Look with me in Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to begin with verse 25. And the Bible says, "And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, 'We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there.'" That's the children of the giants they were talking about. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went with him said, 'We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" And I want you to look over in chapter 14. I'm going to begin reading with verse 4. "And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain. Let us return unto Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he shall bring us unto this land, and give us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word. Oh God, how powerful it is when it speaks to my heart as this scripture does. Because God, I can see myself. I can see God, my own life. And those times, God, that I've stood at the crossroads and had to make a choice, had to choose a path for my life. And God, that's true of every person in this house. I pray, Father, today, as God, we look at this, as we think on the situation that the children of Israel found themselves in, God, help us to see ourselves. And help us, God, to understand that, Lord, throughout this life, we all stand at crossroads. And God, we have to choose. Oh God, help us. Help us today to make the right choices. Help us to understand that, God, Your way is the right way, always. And, God, the other way is destruction. God, we'll give You the praise and give You the glory. Meet every need in this house. Draw Christians closer to You. God, there be one here today that's lost. Oh, my God, save that soul. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The children of Israel were at a crossroads, a place of decision. Beloved, they had a serious choice to make. You see, God had led them out of Egypt. God had delivered them from Pharaoh's hand. God had carried them through the Red Sea. God, beloved, had given them His law. God had led them with a pillar of fire. And now, beloved, 2 years after leaving Egypt, they stood on the east side of Jordan at Kadesh. And, beloved, they looked over into the promised land. They had a choice to make. They had, beloved, a decision to make. Before them, beloved, were two roads that they could travel. They had to decide which way they would go. Which way they would go. You know, as we travel down this road of life, beloved, we come to many kinds of crossroads. I mean, you know, there's financial crossroads where we can go this way or that way. There's marital crossroads, you know, where we have to decide, is this the one or is that the one? Some of you made the choice and, boy, you just messed up, didn't you? I mean, you know, there are educational crossroads. Which way are we going to go as far as our education? But, beloved, these are things that we have to choose, which way we have to decide, which way we'll go, what road we're going to take for our life. And to choose the wrong road can be disastrous. Can be disastrous. But you know, by far, the most important crossroads in your life, listen to me, are the spiritual crossroads that you come across as you travel through this life. See, there are crossroads, beloved, where you have to choose. You have to choose, beloved, to either go God's way or to go another way. The way that you either have to choose to go the way that God wants you to go or the way that the flesh wants you to go. Now, that's the type of crossroads the children of Israel were standing at that day. Before them, beloved, was the way that God would have them to go. The promised land, beloved, the place of plenty, God wanted them to take it. Behind them was the wilderness. Behind them was Egypt and the world and the flesh. They had to choose. Beloved, they chose the wrong road. The wrong road. And let me tell you, disaster followed. You say, preacher, what kind of disaster? Beloved, they chose to go back into the wilderness, to go back to Egypt. Beloved, and because of that, they spent, listen, 38 years wandering in the wilderness. 38 years, beloved, of suffering and sorrow and heartache and misery. 38 years of hardship. And, beloved, that generation died in the wilderness and never set foot in the promised land of God. They made the wrong choice. I want to talk to you this morning about when you stand at the crossroads. When you stand at those spiritual crossroads, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You see, beloved, there are spiritual crossroads that we each are going to face. Every one of us. crossroads where we are going to have to choose. God, help us to choose, beloved, the right way. God's way.
Amen.
God's way. First, there is the crossroads, I call them, temptation. Of temptation. Here's one, beloved, here's one that we all are familiar with, that we've all had to face, because we all know what it's like, beloved, to face temptation, don't we? Anybody here who's never been tempted, I want to see a liar. You have been tempted too. We've all, beloved, been tempted. Oh, listen, beloved, the devil will offer you what your flesh desires. You believe me, he's waiting to tempt you. To tempt you. That's what, beloved, he did to Israel right here. See, beloved, their flesh desired the easy way. The easy way they thought was back to Egypt. They didn't want to fight giants. They didn't want to fight the Amalekites and the Jebusites. They wanted the easy way, beloved. They wanted to satisfy the flesh. The flesh. They wanted the leeks and onions of Egypt, the Bible tells us. Devil, beloved, tempted them at Kadesh. He said, do you want to follow God? Or wouldn't you rather satisfy your flesh? Do you want to battle the giants? Or do you want the easy road back to Egypt? That's what the flesh wanted. Follow the flesh, he said. They chose the wrong road and they yielded to the temptation of the devil, beloved, and chose the road of the flesh and the world. And oh, it costed them. Woo! 38 years of suffering. 38 years of want. 38 years of troubles and trials. And beloved, many, listen, that generation never enjoyed the blessings of God. But that's what happens when you yield to the flesh. That's what happens. You lose the blessings of God. You know, Satan paints a rosy picture, don't he? I mean, beloved, do this and it'll satisfy you. Do this and you'll enjoy it. Hey, do this and you'll like it. Do this and you'll have a good time. Do this and you'll come out on top. But the devil's a liar, beloved. He's a liar. See, what the devil doesn't tell you is that what the devil wants you to do is wrong. It's sin, beloved. It's against God. It's not what God would have you to do. You know, it's amazing to me. Here you got the devil, and everybody knows that the devil wants to destroy you. And you got God, beloved, who everybody knows that God loves you and wants the best for you. And both of them tell you, hey, this is what you ought to do. And which one do we listen to? The one that wants to destroy us. The one that don't care about us. They followed the temptations of the devil. Devil says, don't choose the right road. Choose the wrong road. Because the road of temptation always ends in disaster. I'm reminded of old Billy Kelly. Billy Kelly. Preaching man. Billy Kelly, you know him, don't you? Sure. Billy Kelly, now he's gone to be with the Lord. Now he was a big man. Billy Kelly got saved. He was a mountain man around Knoxville. In fact, he got saved in Knoxville, Tennessee. He was, beloved, a drunkard. I don't mean, beloved, a drinker. I mean a drunkard. He was a drunkard. In fact, the night, beloved, that Billy Kelly got saved, he had been drinking. They had pulled him out of a beer hall and tried to sober him up enough to take him to church. And he got saved. And oh, let me tell you, God wondrously saved that man. And brethren, he put aside the bottle and he went to work for God. Brethren, he preached and preached and souls were saved and great things were happening as he went forth with the Word of God. And everything was doing great. until about a year later he got saved. He said he was down in Florida. Said he'd never met the pastor of the church, but he got a call to come down to do a revival. Said he went down there and he got there to the town, the city, and he checked in the room. He hadn't met the preacher yet. And he said, I think I'll just walk around a little bit and see what this place is all about. Said he was walking down the street and he just happened to pass by a bar. And it just so happened. Y'all believe these things just happen? Just so happened the barkeep had the door open and was sweeping out the bar. Just about the time Billy got in front of the door. And he said, that smell hit me. And he said, my mouth started watering. And he said, oh, it smelled so good. He said, but I kept on walking. He said, I was walking down the street, and he said, as I was going along, he said, suddenly I realized somebody was walking with me, right at my elbow. He said, and I knew him well. It was the devil. He said, the devil said, Billy, it sure is hot, ain't it? He said, it sure is. He said, Billy, you a big man. You are sweating like a pig. He said, I know you're hot. He said, I sure am. He said, he kept on walking. Said, the old devil said, you know what, Billy? Don't nobody know you here, do they? He said, no, they don't. He said, you're a stranger in this town. You don't know nobody, and nobody knows you. He said, no, but don't know a soul. And they don't know me. And he kept on walking. Said, the devil finally said, Billy, since you're so hot and nobody knows you, why don't you go back and get you just one old beer, you know? Why don't you turn around and go, nobody's going to know. Billy Kelly said he turned around. Said he started walking back. Said he got to the door of that bar. Said he pushed the door open and he said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And he kept right on walking. See, he had a choice to make. He got to the crossroads. And he had a choice to make to go God's way or go the devil's way. Praise God, he made the right choice. He made the right choice. Oh, listen, beloved. You're going to get to that crossroads. You're going to meet that crossroads every day. Every day, every day, every day. Oh, God help us. God help you to make the right choice. To make the right choice. Then, there's what I call the crossroads of consecration, Christian. Somebody says, preacher, what in the world is that? Christian, brother, give me just a little bit. I know I'm loud, but give me just a little bit. There will come a time. Now follow me on this. Because I'm talking not only from Bible, but I'm talking about from experience. There will come a time, Christian, in your life when you will have to choose to consecrate yourself wholly to God or, beloved, to be a so-so Christian. Be a so-so Christian. That time is, I believe every Christian reaches that point. For some, beloved, it happens when they get saved, like it did for Billy Kelly. For some, beloved, it may happen a short time after they're saved. For some, beloved, it may happen years after they get saved. But the time will come when they'll get to a crossroads and they have to choose, am I going to give it all to God? Or am I going to be so-so? Am I going to be so-so? It happened for me. It happened for me, I believe, the night I got saved. Oh man, that night I got saved, I gave it all to God. It happened for Martha, I think, a few months after that when we went over to what's the name of the church over at Black Creek? Free Will Baptist Church that night. You went up. I think it happened to her then. She gave it all to God. Oh, but let me tell you, the night I got saved, beloved, I gave it all to Him. I gave it all to Him. It was either, in my mind, it was either give Him all or give Him nothing. Or give Him nothing. I remember after Preacher Barber come in and witnessed to us and led us to Christ, and he visited with us a while, and he walked out the door. I remember turning to Martha just like it was yesterday, and I said, Martha, we're going to be visitors for God. We're not going to be like those who go to church on Sunday and go live with the devil all week. We're going to mean it for God. And brethren, I did mean it for God. But now I'm not going to tell you. There hadn't been times in my life when, beloved, I've taken back some of that consecration. Taking it out of God's hands. I always ended up consecrating my life anew and afresh when that happened. I remember one time I had been preaching about 7 years. We had Adam and Rick Sand. They were about 6 or 7 years old then. And God, beloved, laid it on my heart and led me to Clayton, North Carolina, to Tiffett Chapel. Went to that church on the hill, beautiful church. Pretty good sized church. At that time, their membership was about 350. But that's what their membership was. That wasn't what they had coming. But beloved, they were a good people and a good church, and they were good to Martha and I. And oh, let me tell you, we went there, followed a man who had been there 17 years, and God just blessed. I mean, from the very first Sunday, beloved, God just blessed. We had people saved over and over and over again, and the church was growing, and the crowds were getting bigger and bigger, and we would have 75 on Wednesday night for Bible study. God was just a blessing. But then, Daddy had his heart attack. He was okay, thank God. But after that, all I could think about was how long did Daddy have? And how long were these grandyounguns of mine, or my younguns, going to have their granddaddy? I mean, he loved them with all his heart, didn't he, Mama? Was he? I mean, with all his soul, they were his world. And oh, he was their world. And I said, I'm keeping these youngins from the granddad, and I don't know how long he's got. And I began to pray, God, I want to go home. I want to take my family back home. I want to take them back home. I want them to know Him forever, how long you leave them here. You see, that moment, I took that consecration back from God. I said, God, I want Your will to be done. I want my will to be done. Because this is what I want. I want my young ones to know their granddaddy. And I took it back. And I prayed and prayed and kept on and on. And God said, no, no, no. And I kept on. You know what? You better be careful what you pray for. Because I'm telling you, beloved, the day came when God said, okay, I'm going to let you go back home. He said, but you ain't going to like it. It's going to hurt. And beloved, just like that, I lost my voice. Lost it. I know y'all can't imagine this voice ever being hushed. But I lost it. I went to the doctor, expert there in Duke. I said, what in the world? And this is his words to me. He said, find yourself another profession. I said, Doc, I can't do that. God called me to preach. He said, if you well, go back, resign your church, go home and rest your voice for 2 years. 2 years, and take speech therapy. He said, you may be able to preach. I said, well, God, that's what I'll do. And I went back and I resigned a good church that God was blessing. And I came back home. Just like that. Lost my voice. Lost it. I came back and I was miserable. Well, I had no peace. I had no joy. And this went on, beloved, for months. I had no peace and no joy. But finally, beloved, I got to the crossroads again. And again, I said, God, I'm sorry. Take it all. I'm sorry. And God, beloved, allowed me to consecrate myself anew and afresh. But let me tell you, you reap what you sow. Terrible things happen. Terrible things happen. I won't go into all of them, but I will give you one. Probably the most terrible. We moved back down here and they enjoyed my dad for 10 more years until God called him home. But if I'd have never moved back here from where God wanted me to be, and I know you're going to think, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. I do. My boy would have never got on drugs. And he wouldn't be in prison right now. Right now. You say, preacher, he could have got on drugs anywhere. Uh-uh. I'm telling you, God has revealed this to me. If I had to come back, he would have never gotten on drugs and he would not be in prison right now. And I bear that the rest of my life. The rest of my life. Oh, let me tell you, beloved, you're going to come to a place where God's going to say, give it all to me, give it all to me. And you're going to have to choose. God help you to choose the right. Because if you choose the other, disaster's up ahead. I'm telling you, pain and sorrow and hurt like you can't imagine is the other way. Is the other way. You're going to reach a place in your life where you're going to have to choose. Choose the right way and God will give you blessing. He'll give you all, beloved. All. Choose the right way. Then there is the crossroads of affliction. Of affliction. What are you talking about, preacher? This is the time, beloved, when troubles and trials come your way. Or maybe some tragedy comes your way. And you have to choose. You see, the devil's working in those times, and you're going to have to choose. Am I going to continue with God, or am I going to just give it up? Am I going to just give it up? You know, it's surprising how many preachers go through that. I was talking to a preacher just last week. He was telling me how he had lost a son. But thank God. And though the temptation came, but thank God, he kept going for God. Talking to another a few weeks ago who told me about how he lost his wife, lost his helpmate, and how much he loved her, but thank God, he kept on going. He kept on going for God. Tragedy comes, heartache, heartbreak. While you're serving God, while you're doing all that you can do for God, and suddenly, beloved, you have to choose, am I going to continue going God's way? Or am I going to wallow in my misery and give it up? And give it up. Thank God they realized where these tragedies come from. They didn't come from God. They came from the devil. That's the devil, beloved. That's the devil hurting you. And then you're going to go and follow the devil instead of following the God that can comfort you and help you. You know, that was Job. Man, you talk about going through tragedy. Beloved, Job went through it. He lost, beloved, his family, 10 children at one time. Can you imagine? 10 children. He lost his wealth. All of his wealth, he was gone. He lost his health. And he sat in the ashes, beloved, the Bible says, and he scraped those hurting, running balls over his body, beloved, in agony of body and heart and mind. And his wife said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just... In other words, she said, Job, give it up. Give it up. Listen, you served God faithfully for many years and look at you now. Give it up. Give it up. Job said, what? Shall we receive good of the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? You know what he was saying? He's saying, look, we receive good from God, but this life is good and evil. And because the evil comes, we're going to turn from the one that's given us good. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. That's what he said. You check it. You talk like a foolish woman. Later on, I like what Job said. Job said, oh, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Beloved, Job said, nothing is going to turn me from my God. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. Beloved, this life is sunshine and rain. Amen? Amen. And in every life, some rain must fall. But God is faithful, beloved, no matter what you face, be it the loss of family, be it, beloved, sickness, cancer, heart disease, death, be it, beloved, marital problems, financial difficulties, God is faithful, and He's always there with you through it all. Amen. Through it all. Don't turn from Him. Take the bad things that Satan might send your way and let those things drive you deeper into the arms of Jesus. Because that's where the help is. That's where the comfort is. When those troubles and trials come, don't take the road, beloved, that leads you away from Christ. Take that road that leads you closer to Him. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. Martha and I, we could not bear it if it weren't for Him. If it weren't for Him. I wouldn't want to try. But He keeps us going. He gives us strength. He gives us power. He gives us victory. He gives us hope. Amen. Amen. He gives it to us. Fourth. There is a crossroads of salvation. There's only two types of people in this world. Lost and saved. Amen? Lost and saved. We're all born lost, beloved, separated from God on our way to hell. Oh, but God, praise God, in love and mercy, beloved, along this road of life has put crossroads, places where we can get off the broad road of destruction and get on the narrow road that leads to glory. Oh, listen, every time you hear the gospel, and the Holy Ghost of God deals with your heart, beloved, you are at the crossroads. You're at the crossroads. It's easy to know when you're there because at the crossroads of salvation, there stands an old rugged cross that the Savior died on. And it's there. It's there that you can change your direction. Whoa! Listen, you can change your direction from hell to heaven. You can change your direction, your life, beloved, from guilt and sorrow to peace and the joy of God. Listen, you can change, beloved, your eternity from an eternity of separation from God to being wrapped in the arms of Jesus.
Amen.
It's there. You can change your standing with God from a poor, lost, condemned sinner to a child of God. A child of the King. You change it all by receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith. By faith. Years ago, closing now, there was an old man. And he wouldn't get saved. Oh, his wife went to church. He was a Christian. And she had got the preacher over there and folks from the church over there to talk to him. But he would not get saved. Every time somebody would talk to him about the Lord and they'd present the way of salvation, he'd always say, "I'm a stubborn man. I'm a stubborn man." One day he had a heart attack. A bad one. And oh, the preacher went to see him in the hospital. Man was, he was blessed to be alive. And he went to see him in the hospital and he again, beloved, presented to him the love of God and what Jesus had done for him. And he said, "You don't want to leave your wife. You don't want to spend eternity in hell while she's in heaven. Will you receive Christ as your Savior?" And he said, "Preacher, I'm a stubborn man." He said, "But if God will get me home and so I can go, I promise you, I will go to church. I will go to church." Well, the preacher took that and he began to pray to God, "God, please, let him come to church one time. Please let him come just one time. Just one time." And the man got better. And he went home. And beloved, in a little while, they looked up one Sunday morning, and sure enough, in he walked with his wife. And she was so proud. And she was running to all the members of the church, and she'd whispering to him, "Pray. You pray. You pray that my husband gets saved today. You pray like you've never prayed before." She went back and she sat down with him there on the back row. And the preacher got up and preached. And beloved, it was obvious the man from the very beginning was under conviction. You can tell. You can tell. An invitation was given and he stood up in the congregation. And beloved, he gripped that pew and his knuckles were pure white. And you could tell that there was a battle going on in him. And he wouldn't let go. He would not get saved. Preacher extended the invitation as long as he could. Finally, he closed it. Went to the back. Man come by. Took the preacher's hand and he grinned. And he said, "Preacher, I'm a stubborn man." And he walked out. They met for church that Sunday night. And lo and behold, in walked that man. Second time he'd ever been to church. And all the preacher said, tonight, and the congregation were all thinking, "Oh, tonight, he was so close this morning. Tonight he's going to get saved." Preacher preached his heart out. Halfway through the message, all of a sudden, that old man stood up. And the preacher thought, "Oh, he ain't going to wait for the invitation." And he fell over the pew. Massive heart attack. Doctor said he died instantly. He was a stubborn man. He was a stubborn man. You see, he stood at that crossroads of salvation that morning. For the last time, God, He said, one time, God, I'll go to church to get me out. One more opportunity. And he stood at that crossroads and chose the wrong road for the last time. True story. Brother from Texas was preaching when the man fell over the pew and died. Crossroads. Are you at the crossroads? Crossroads of temptation. Crossroads of consecration. Crossroads of affliction. Crossroads of salvation. Look long. Look hard. Because deep down inside you know the road that God wants you to choose. And to choose the wrong road is disaster. It's disaster. Israel stood at Kadesh and looked over into the promised land. Choose Israel! What will it be? The road of blessings of God! Or the road to destruction? What road will you and I choose as we stand at the crossroads? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, God, I preach tonight as a dying, or this morning as a dying man to dying people. This life is so short. Our opportunity is so fleeting. God, Israel never got another, that generation never got another chance to enter the blessings of God. And God, this might be our last chance. It might be our last. Almighty God, help us as we stand at the crossroads. Everyone here, help us. Oh God, give us the strength and power to make the right choice. God, do your work in every heart. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, ask you to stand. As Martha plays, what will you choose? 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 Crossroads in your life, my life, in the lives of everyone. So easy to get on the wrong road. But God is a God of grace. Maybe you've gotten on the wrong road, but you've come to the crossroads again. Don't choose the wrong road. Don't choose the wrong road. Won't you come? Maybe you're here today, Christian. You know somebody. Somebody you love. Somebody near and dear to you. And they're on the wrong road. Won't you come and pray for them? Won't you do that? Won't you come? Won't you come? I will arise and go to Jesus in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 chums. Won't you Lord you come. You may be seated, heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder, these who come, if there's one, and you say, "Preacher, I don't know. I truly don't know. If I died right now, that I'd go to heaven, and I want to know. I want to be saved." We'll show you how. In the church, here at the altar, wherever you may be, if you'll just lift your hand, we'll come to you and we'll show you how to know that if you died right now, you go to heaven. You're at that crossroads. You're at that crossroads. Would you lift your hand? Would you lift your hand? I wonder if there's somebody here today. You're at that crossroads of affliction, or you're at that crossroads of consecration, or you're at that crossroads of temptation, and you want somebody to pray with you that you might choose the right road. Would you lift your hand? We'll come and pray with you one-on-one. One-on-one. I wonder if there's somebody here and you say, "Preacher, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And I'm looking a place to serve God, and I've prayed, and I know that this is where God wants me to serve Him." Would you lift your hand? Would you do that? We open the doors of our church. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Pray.